to talk. It's the Talk of the Town with Mike Walsh on B95.5 FM, WUTQ.
I don't know, this is gray area. Do I really want to go there? I mean, this could be, I could lose my job for talking about stuff like this on the air.
Talk to the left, talk to the right, and talk right down the middle.
And I'm a freak about noises. I hate noises. I get annoyed by everything.
This is the Talk of the Town with Mike Walsh on B95.5 FM, WUTQ, 1550 and 1480 AM, WADR. Now, here's Mike Walsh.
And a very good Monday morning to you. Sunny skies, but not real warm. We're only a little bit over 30 this morning. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock with Rome Mayor Jim Brown in the leadoff position this morning. We'll also talk to Tom Terry from the Results Group a little bit later this hour. Find out exactly what's going on with the Madison Belfield Antique Show, what the future of that is for next year. Are we going to have it? Are we not going to have it? Well, I think you'll be delighted with the answer as we talk to Tom Terry in just a little bit from right now. But it is 7 minutes after 8, and we say good morning and welcome into our first guest, Rome Mayor Jim Brown. Mr. Mayor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
A little bit under the weather today?
Well, it's just my sinuses. Plus, we're coming off a long weekend here. I'm going to have to get right into it. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's terrible because this time of year we get very busy, and unfortunately we get colds at the same time, so we just kind of have to deal with them. But one thing that you do have out of the way is the budget for this year, the 2011 budget.
Yeah, we did. We finalized the budget. Our fiscal year, which is different than the state, our fiscal year runs January to December. As you know, the fiscal New York State fiscal year runs April to May.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to finalize it. We committed, I think we talked about this before, I think we were probably one of the only municipalities in New York State, probably in the United States of America, that projected out 4 years of property tax rates. So this is our third year. 2009, we projected zero, or projected two, we came in 2.10. We projected zero, we came in zero, and for next year, 2011, we said 2%, and we came in exactly 2%. But we had to make some tough decisions to get us to that level.
Well, let's talk about the decisions that you had to make. 34 positions full time, is that where it stands right now? Is about 34?
Well, you've got 17 full time positions, and another 17 or 18 funded positions that we eliminated. So altogether, you got 34, 35 positions.
30. You said 14 full-time positions?
Yeah, these are, and then we have positions that are in the budget, Mike, that are funded.
And explain that to me.
The funded positions are positions that the money's in the budget, but we never identified any people for those positions.
Okay. So they're not filled positions?
They're not filled positions. Budgeted positions, but not filled positions.
Okay, how do those cuts that you did have to make, how do they affect service to the community?
We took a look at that. Right now in our parks program, we're going to have to cut back a little bit in the summer. Mm-hmm. And some of our programming, we're going to close a couple of smaller pools.
Okay.
One of the big things we did, Mike, was with the, and we did a lot of research on this because we're probably going to, this will be tested in the court system, is that effective 2011, we're not going to be hiring any more full-time firefighters. We're going to start hiring part-time until I feel comfortable that we have the right mix. Our budget in the fire department is $6 million. And we just can't afford to mm-hmm. keep staffing at those levels with the salaries and the benefits. So what we're going to do is we're going to hire part-time. We're going to select them off a civil service list,
mm-hmm.
just as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go through the exact type of training as the firefighters have. And then we're going to bring them in with minimal benefits of probably $18, $19 an hour.
How many full-time firefighters are there in the city of Rome now?
Now we have 87.
And how is their future affected?
Right now, I'm taking two funded positions out, so this is going to take us down to 84, 85 positions.
All right.
But right now, no firefighters are going to be laid off. But in the future, through attrition,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be bringing in part-timers.
Do you see some possible opposition to that in any department where public safety is such a big issue? Do you feel like maybe you're going to run into questions about how dedicated a part-time firefighter might be, or how qualified they might be, as opposed to a full-time? Even though they're even though they need the same qualifications?
Yeah, we're already running into that.
Okay.
Those questions have been brought up. Matter of fact, they were brought up at one of the Common Council meetings before the budget was approved. And public safety, safety of our citizens is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And these individuals that we're going to select are going to be highly qualified. They're going to have to pass a civil service test. They're going to have to go through the exact training that our current firefighters have. And then through attrition, they'll be able to work themselves into a full-time position. And I'm probably looking at a ratio of, say, 60% full-time, 40% part-time. Maybe it'll never, in my mind, it'll never go over 50%. But just the 4 out of 10 gives us some flexibility and is going to help us with some cost containment.
Are you pretty confident that there's going to be enough qualified candidates out there that are willing to do this on a part-time basis?
Yeah, because I have an active civil service list right now that we can select from.
Okay. Talk to me about the Liberty Gardens housing complex.
Yeah, well,
what's going on with that?
Liberty Gardens, we started... I think I walked into Commissioner Masucci's office about 3 years ago, and I asked him, Jim, can you help me out with the Rome Housing Authority? Could you get on that board for me, which he did, because we needed to build a little bit more depth. And as the years went on, he then became chairman of the board. And through this process, we have Liberty Gardens, which is almost a 50-year-old facility, Mike. It's totally outdated. It's inefficient. So we were able to go out and through New York State Housing with the help of Rowan DeStito, and get a grant for it. The project's going to be probably right around $40 million. And that's a total rehab of that whole complex. And we're going to start breaking ground on phase one this spring. So that'll probably go down with this administration when we look back at the history, probably in the top five projects.
And do you have a target date for when that should be totally completed?
It's going to be about a 3-year project to finish the whole thing, Mike.
All right. Premier Aviation, they're in town now. It's official that they're at Griffiths.
It's official. Yeah, last week we went to the ribbon cutting, the first official announcement with the employees there with mm-hmm. the president of Premier, Steve DeMeo from Edge, and which, he really, really helped facilitate to get this deal. County Executive Bassetti was there, and Senator Schumer was there. He was helpful, and it was a total team effort. And as I said at the press conference, I had the opportunity to, with Al Candino, myself, Tony Bassetti, Steve DeMeo, we took a drive up, and we had an opportunity to go through Premier in their organization. And Ronnie, the president, I can tell you, being in business for 30 years and running 18 supermarkets, after a while you just get a feel of an organization. And this is a class organization from the president down. The president is a hands-on type manager. He knows his business. He's very conservative on how he projects his business out. The balance sheet, and as far as cash, it's a solid, solid company. Because I know in the public, because we've had a couple failures over there, that the confidence in what's going on at Griffiths International Airport. But I can tell you, this company right now, I see it in 4 to 5 years is going to have over 300 employees.
And how many do they have immediately?
Right now, they've started out with I think about 75. They got 75 employees right now.
All right, we're about a month away from the Rite Aid Distribution Center closing. Is January 1st the date for that?
Yeah.
What's been going on there? Has there been any interest in the building itself, or is that not in the talks yet? Where's that stand?
We've been working. We got a call from the developer, the real estate people. They're going to be marketing that building. We had they had a meeting with Chris Mercurio in our economic and planning department. And we're working with them and Rite Aid, so hopefully, we'll be able to get a tenant in there, because that we haven't seen the whole ripple down effect of the 388 employees that
are any of those jobs going to Liverpool? Whatever
60
happened to that?
Jobs were going to go to Liverpool. Are they there now? I don't know, Mike. But the commitment was that 60 were gonna go there. But my heart, it goes out to these people, especially, they had to get the word right closely around, around the holidays, but the New York State Labor Department, City of Rome, County Executive, Rowan, we're all trying to work. I'll tell you another individual that stepped up to the plate. His name is Ed Abinader. He's the president of the union at DFAS, and he was at a couple meetings, so he's been over there trying to help network any type of openings that they have at DFAS, which you know they have over 1,000 employees there. So it's been a total team effort to try to help these people out.
Tough time of year to be let go.
No.
Absolutely. Not that there's ever a good time for that. Okay, let's talk about the recent election and with Andrew Cuomo being elected. Your thoughts on how that affects Rome? Anything?
Well, I'm going to lay it right out to you, Mike. I think
good.
You know me well enough.
Yeah,
I'm just
going to
tell you how I feel, in my opinion. In my opinion, Mike, this election with Andrew Cuomo taking over in January is probably the most pivotal election in the history of New York State.
Okay, follow that up. How's that?
Well, it right now, Mike, New York State is basically bankrupt. Over the next 3 years, they're projecting to be $30 billion in the red. We have situations continually. We have our young people moving away. Our state is not the most customer-friendly state to do business in, with the regulations and the taxes. And we have too much government. And we've got to cut the spending. So I've heard Andrew Cuomo speak, but I've heard a lot of previous elected officials speak. And I'm here to tell you, if Andrew Cuomo doesn't make the tough decisions, does not start to negotiate contractually with some of these unions, does not start to take some of the fat out of government and reduce the size of government, and start to take a look at making this state more customer-friendly, you basically can get the key and lock it up, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And if he doesn't do these things like he said he's going to do, because there's pros and cons that he is and that he isn't, because of his affiliation with unions and his background in government and really being a professional politician, if he doesn't make him, he's going to be a one-termer. I mean, you can see what Palladino did. I mean, Carl Palladino, I think, had the right ideas on what he wanted to do in Albany. The problem with Carl Palladino is that some of his execution, some of the statements that he made were too erratic, and you really couldn't get behind or get confidence in his leadership. But philosophically, Carl Palladino had really knew what's going to have to happen in there, and this is what Andrew Cuomo was going to do. And they put me on this mandate reform committee on NYCOM, New York State Conference of Mayors, and we've come up with about 6, 7, 8 recommendations on what he has to do. So hopefully he'll listen to some of the recommendation when it comes to retirement and contribution on retirement, and what's going on in insurance costs and comp costs, and how we have to pay contractually on some of the work that's done here on prevailing wages, which is really not competitive for companies to come in and do. So he's got a big job ahead, and he's going to have to start like January 2nd making these decisions.
There's no grace period.
No, there's no grace period. Absolutely not. So I'm, I'll stand and be totally cooperative. But once I start to see that he's not going to make the tough decisions, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be standing up and I'm going to be making a lot of noise, because we need to save this state. And he's been picked to be the leader to do it.
Doesn't surprise me that you'd stand up and make some noise. We're talking to Rome Mayor Jim Brown this morning. So what are you doing to dress Rome up for Christmas?
Oh, we've got all our decorations up. Sure. This Friday night, we're going to have our annual tree lighting ceremony downtown. So we had to cut back a little bit on it, but we still have the festivities and the lights, and we're going to have the fireworks. And here's another, because we had to take a look at that aspect. And we had
talk about that. Yeah, the fireworks.
We had to cut back on the fireworks, but we had Mr. Fazio step up with $2,500. And
that's a great story.
He owns a car dealership in Rome. So Joe stepped up and has donated that money. So I matter of fact, what we did, I brought him in the office, we gave him a certificate, and I have these gold medallions with a Pledge of Allegiance on one side and Fort Stanwix on the other. We gave him one of those. And
that's going on this Friday?
Yeah, it's this Friday night.
All right. Very good. Rome Mayor Jim Brown, we're going to let you go nurse that that cold a little bit, or whatever it is that you got, and talk to you in about a month.
All right. I appreciate it.